In a recent interview with Howard Stern, Billie Eilish talks about what she watched, actually the type of films that she watched that ultimately caused her to have nightmares and sleep paralysis. And we look at the enemy and his influence on those who are self-harming. Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking about a number of subjects, really, really important subjects, specifically when it comes to those who are self-harming themselves, and also those things that come from the outside that we allow into our house, we allow onto our phone, or even our computers and so forth, and how those things that can begin to harm us. And then when they harm us, we begin harming ourselves. And it all comes back to the reality that we are not simply, I believe as Dr. Frank Turk would state it, we are not simply moist robots. We are people, we have souls, and guess what? We also have an enemy. We have an enemy that is after us, and we need to recognize the spiritual warfare that is before us. And on a recent interview with none other than the very, very popular artist, Billie Eilish, while she was talking with Howard Stern, she explained specifically where she began and when she began looking at adult entertainment. And while looking at adult entertainment, some of, I guess you would say, the ramifications of starting looking at that sort of material at the age of 11.
I think that I had like sleep paralysis and these like almost like night terror slash just nightmares because of it. I think that's how they started, because I would just watch abusive, you know, BDSM, and that's what I thought was attractive. And I just didn't, it got to a point where like, I couldn't watch anything else. Like, unless it was violent, I like didn't think it was attractive, and I was a virgin. I'd never done anything.
Now, one of the things you want to notice there in that clip is the fact that Billy immediately starts to talk about precisely having the sleep paralysis, the nightmares. And I want to point something out, and I want to tell you this, that we are being very careful with the language being used in this episode today, because we do not want YouTube to quench it from getting out, to stop this video from getting out, because we believe this is a very important topic. But I want you guys to check out, and we will put a link in the description of this episode, our entire video regarding Satan's sex scheme. Because one of the things that we showed when it comes to adult entertainment, when it comes to just, you know, Playboy or whatever we may be talking about, all of the direct links to Satanism, all of the direct links to the spiritual reality that we are in when it comes to these things. And so many people think that they could go be by themselves, turn on one of these films, and that they're committing this sin, which only harms themselves, not knowing the reality of the effect that it has, not only on them, but the people around them, and the fact that they are exploiting people on a screen looking at it. They're basically some free, some paying money to actually be cyber peeping toms. And the reality is that you are helping to fund the trafficking that happens to young girls all over this planet who are being exploited on those very films. And the reality is Satan's hand is completely in it all the way. All of his fingers are involved in pushing that stuff. And when you hear quotes from even Billie Eilish, and we're going to go over some of her music and background and so forth, but when you hear the quotes from her where she talks about that at this young age, she just wanted to be one of the boys looking at these films like everyone else. She had not even had a sexual experience yet, but now she is watching these films with hardcore BDSM and so forth. And guess what? Now she's having nightmares. Now she's having sleep paralysis. And the fact is that when you look at the background of Billie Eilish, and now with her over 97 million followers on Instagram, you see that her parents are two somewhat, I would say, failed actors in a lot of ways. That the fact is that they didn't make it very big, but now their daughter is one of the biggest stars on the planet. And it seems like she's been around Hollywood and been pushed to this stardom by her parents that ultimately didn't make it. You see this a lot with baseball, basketball, football stars, and so forth, where vicariously the parents will live through the children and push them to be these big stars that they were never able to get to, these sites that they were never able to get to. And the reality is it's a heartbreaking thing to watch. But when you see this, it's something that I was thinking about a lot. And this is one of the quotes that she says: as a woman, I think adult films are a disgrace. I used to watch a lot of them. To be honest, I think it really destroyed my brain, and I feel incredibly devastated that I was exposed to so much of it. Now, I'm giving a little bit of an edited version of what she stated in that interview there, but the reason I'm giving that edit is because, like I said, we don't want this suppressed, because there's a spiritual reality we need to talk about here. One being that this is a young girl that she has been out there for many, many years. She has been making a ton of music, very dark music, which we will get into. But some people will point out the fact that look at how young she is here. Look at how young she was when she was exposed to this. So what do we do with someone who at such a young age is exposed to this and is simply going down this trail of deceit and wickedness? And she is very dark. We're going to have to get into that. But I want to deal with what the scriptures say regarding this, because I believe Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, is one of the more important places that we can go to when we see the sins of the parents, maybe pushing them along, whether that's with Miley Cyrus and her father, Billy Ray and her mother as well, or, you know, parent after parent where they push their children to go be these stars. But when you look at Ezekiel chapter 18, it brings to us just a great light to understand what we're supposed to be looking forward to as believers, what we're supposed to be looking at if we are those who are in sin, needing to come out of it, and those to continue walking in righteousness. But what happens in Ezekiel chapter 18 is first that he warns Israel that they've been saying this saying over and over again, and they say this should not be said anymore in the land of Israel, and that is that the fathers eat sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge, which basically is you're not supposed to be blaming your parents for the sin that you are now committing, because that would happen over and over again in Israel, right? The king would fall, and guess what? The people would follow into the idolatry and so forth. That was just the history of Israel and then Judah as well. And so when we look at these things, we see the importance of recognizing what is said in Ezekiel 18, verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the father, as well as the soul of the son, is mine. The soul who sins will die. Now, when in respect to Billie Eilish and her parents pushing her forward towards this and allowing these adult films to be pushed in her face as a young child, being 11 years old, looking at them, we obviously see that this is something that should have never taken place. But ultimately, we are all given a choice. We're all given a decision on what we are going to do. And in Ezekiel chapter 18, I'm going to give a quick breakdown, because there's a number of things we need to talk about today. But we are given the case of multiple men and then their ultimate fate. The first is a righteous man. The next is a righteous man who has a son who is violent and wicked. And the son's blood is the only blood that is required, because the father wasn't the one who was sinning, but rather the son. And so as Ezekiel 18:4 says, the soul that sins shall die. But that same wicked son then has his own son, who sees all the wickedness that his father had committed and decides not to walk in them. You see, this is telling us something very clearly, that yes, obviously we know and we recognize the effect of sin on the family. Typically, when you have alcoholism, or what I would just call drunkenness, right? Over and over again throughout generations. A lot of times the father, the son, it keeps revisiting, right? Those sins until someone says, I am not going to do this. I'm going to not be a drunkard. I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and have and break that chain and that bondage. And you say, I praise the Lord that we can have victory in Christ. But there it is often that this will happen. The effects of the sin of the fathers will come down upon the sons, right? If your father is a thief and gets caught and goes into prison, guess what? It's going to have an effect on you. But ultimately, when it comes to the soul, ultimately, when it comes to who's going to go and be with the Father in heaven, it's up to you to turn to him and to look to him. You can't blame someone else and say, well, my dad was really bad. I know that some people have come up from terrible lives. They've had some tough struggles. I have people in my family that I know some of the struggles that they've gone through, and it would be hard to even describe them, and I wouldn't try to describe them to you. But the reality is that we all have a choice, and the Holy Spirit has gone out into the world and convicted the whole world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. We've all been given a conscience that bears witness against us. Every single one of us is given the creative order that we look at. It's been made evident to us that there is a creator and that we can turn to him, and that the Christ is a father to the fatherless, that he is good, he is loving, and we can come to him at any point, at any time. But here's the reality. This is the important thing to take from this. Because I don't want you to think, oh, well, I've sinned, that's it, this is my last chance, I don't know what to do. Because Ezekiel chapter 18, 17 through 18 talks about the man turning from that who sees his father this way. It says, he keeps his hand from the poor, does not take interest or increase, but executes my ordinances and walks in my statutes. He will not die for his father's iniquity. He surely will live. As for the father, because he practiced extortion, robbed his brother, and did what was not good among his people, behold, he will die for his iniquity. So once again, that just goes back to specifically the father and son relationship, that it doesn't matter what your father did, or it doesn't matter what you as the son, in terms of the salvation that takes place, you don't get to say, well, I get to just hitch my trailer to my righteous father and I get to get to heaven. And your father doesn't get to hitch their ticket onto you and they get to heaven. That's not how this works. But here's what it says, and these sets of verses right here in Ezekiel 18, 21 through 23, by the way, are biographical for myself, and I'm sure hopefully for many of you, right, that we're walking in wickedness, but guess what? You didn't stay in it. It says, but if a wicked man turns from all his sins, which he has committed, and observes all my statutes and practices, justice and righteousness, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions, which he has committed, will not be remembered against him. Oh, praise God for that. Because of all his righteousness, which he has practiced, he will live. Do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord, rather than he should turn from his ways and live? And this should be the case also for Billy, whether or not she was tainted at a young age for her parents pushing her into stardom, or was it looking at adult films that also played a factor? Or if it was all of it, the reality is she needs to turn and follow Christ. And it's interesting because she does this interview with Vanity Fair every year for the last 5 years. She started out obviously as a star and now is even a bigger star with over, as I said, 97 million followers just on Instagram alone. And one of the things they asked her was, what's the scariest thing in your life? And I'm going to read from what she said in that interview about the things that scare her. She says, the first thing that came to my mind is when my feet are close to the bottom of the bed. That's the scariest part of my day every day. I jump from like 2 feet away from my bed. And if my feet are too close to the bottom of my bed, I go, ugh, like I can't help myself but gag. It's disgusting. It creeps me out. Oh, it creeps me out. That's why all the furniture in my house, there is nothing underneath. They all go to the ground. I made that very, very clear. When I was getting all my furniture, I was like, please don't get anything with space underneath. All my chairs, my couches, my bed frame, it all goes all the way to the ground. I'd rather lose storage space under my bed than have to step next to the bottom of my bed. Interestingly enough, she actually has a song called Bury a Friend, where when you look at the lyrics of them, first of all, it's creepy. But I want to read from the lyrics and then read to you. And by the way, if you've ever seen the music video, it's one of the craziest music videos, just wicked, demonic music videos I've ever seen. But these are some of the lyrics. And then I want to read from you the press release regarding Bury a Friend. Here's the lyrics. What do you want from me? Why do you run from me? What are you wondering? What do you know? Why aren't you scared of me? Why do you care for me? When we all fall asleep, where do we go? Say it. Spit it out. What is it exactly? Your pain. Is the amount cleaning you out? Am I satisfactory? Today I'm thinking about the things that are deadly. The way I'm drinking you down. Like I want to drown. Like I want to end me. Step on the glass. Staple your tongue. Bury a friend. Try to wake up. Cannibal class. Killing the sun. Bury a friend. I want to end me. And plenty of people wanted to know, what is this? What is going on when it comes to this song? Especially when you watch the music video and you see her eyes roll back in her head like she's possessed and demons out from underneath the bed, including a demon that looks just like her, that she's haunting her friend. But here's what she said in a press release. Bury a friend is literally from the perspective of the monster under my bed. If you put yourself in that mindset, what is the creature doing or feeling? I also confess that I'm this monster, because I'm my own worst enemy. I might be the monster under your bed, too. And the reality is that people do not realize just how serious she is when it comes to her being the monster under their bed that is really in their ears, which is really in their heart, because they're meditating on lyrics just like this that are ultimately demonically inspired. I've always thought it was interesting when you see what they say about their songs or what they do in terms of their life, in terms of the paranormal. Because not only does Billie Eilish still to this day, after this song, just recently in that interview, talk about how she doesn't allow furniture in her house to have any storage space underneath, that it has to go to the ground because she's so frightened by what might be underneath it. Because if you guys may remember, it was Lady Gaga who spent around $50,000 for basically a Ghostbuster machine, who was sued by her assistant because she was forcing her to sleep in her bed half of the time because she was so afraid of the spirits. And over again, we see this. This is the kind of stuff that goes on. And where does it lead? Notice in that song, she wants to end herself. I want to end me. Over and over again, it leads to self-harm. In fact, Billie Eilish actually opened up in a new Apple TV documentary, Billie Eilish, The World's a Little Blurry. She bravely confronts those issues on camera and shares with viewers that she first began cutting at the age of 14, a year after she first became famous. Speaking on camera, age 17, Billie says that heartbreakingly, there was a time when she didn't think she would reach such an age. Quote, to be honest with you, I never thought I'd make it to this age. I'm never happy. I feel the dark things. I'm bad at taking care of my mental health. And this is the reality of it all. And the reality that so many people miss when it comes to self-harm, when it comes to cutting, when it comes to all these, I guess, means by which people are feeling this close to self-harm to end it, as she sings, I want to end me, is the spiritual reality that over and over again in the scriptures, we see that typically when it comes to this self-harm or cutting or ending yourself, it almost always comes alongside the demonic. In fact, in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus is tempted by Satan, this is one of the things that the devil actually says. In verse 5, then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. He was trying to get Jesus to harm himself. That's really interesting. What did Jesus say to him? On the other hand, it's written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Interestingly enough, when you think of the greatest betrayer in the Bible, you don't go any further than Judas himself. And it actually says this in John chapter 13, 27, after the morsel, that was the morsel that Jesus gave to show which one of the disciples was the betrayer. It says that Satan then entered into him. Therefore, Jesus said, what you do, do quickly. And what did Judas do right after that? And he threw the pieces of silver, this is from Matthew 27:5. He threw the pieces of silver into the temple sanctuary and departed. And he went away and he hanged himself. Don't think that the New Testament is the only place where we see satanic influence in getting people or attempting to get people to harm themselves. In 1 Samuel 31, we read of King Saul. It says, then Saul said to his armor bearer, draw your sword and pierce me with it. Otherwise, these uncircumcised will come and pierce me through and make sport of me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was greatly afraid. So Saul took his sword and fell on it. Remember, this is only two chapters after Saul had just consulted a medium. And remind yourself also that Saul is the same one who the Holy Spirit departed from him because he was not obedient to what God had called him to be obedient, or how God had called him to be obedient. And in doing so, what would happen to Saul? The same person would eventually harm and then end his own life. Saul would do what? Saul would have evil spirits that would haunt him. Very interesting. And also we look to in Job. You think about when Job was being tempted by Satan. It is in Job chapter 2 that not only is Job just given all these from head to toe. I mean, it's everything that's happened, his family dying, his workers and so forth. But then it says this, his own wife turned on him and said, then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. He wanted to end himself. She wanted him to end himself. Then in 1 Kings chapter 18, this is what we're told that happens when Elijah goes up against the false prophets on Mount Carmel, and Elijah mocks them for their false god, and yeah, even asks him, is your God going to the bathroom? Is he asleep? Where is he? Because my God answers my prayers. And here's what it said happened specifically to them after they didn't get their prayers answered or their sacrifices answered to their false god, which the Bible says in Psalm 95:2 are ultimately demons. So they cried with a loud voice and cut themselves according to their custom with swords and lances until blood gushed out of them. But I want to go to Mark chapter 5. For the last part, because I want you to see that clearly when it comes to this cutting, when it comes to what was going on there, obviously when it came to with Billie Eilish and so forth, with the dark side that she even talks about wanting to end herself and so forth. Mark chapter 5 gives us some really good insight regarding the demonic realm, regarding Jesus' authority over that demonic realm, and the reality of what takes place in a person who is given over to that demonic realm. It says in Mark chapter 5, they came to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gerasenes. When he got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him, and he had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one was able to bind him, even with a chain. Now, I want to point this out. Notice the darkness and the death. In fact, the Bible actually says that those who hate God, they actually love death. That's what they love. They love death. And if you look at the darkness when it comes to Billie and her music, it is very clear that those who do not love God, those who hate God, do love death. And look at him. Where do these demons take him? To the tombs. All of this darkness. And verse 4, it says, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him, and the shackles broken into pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. The supernatural strength. But here's verse 5. This is what it says. Constantly, night and day, he was screaming among the tombs and in the mountains. And what was he doing? Gashing himself with stones. Yeah, that old feeling and need that has become very common in young people is not something that is foreign to the scriptures. We see over and over again the self-harm that takes place, the gashing, the gnashing, the bleeding, the cutting. The self-harm is something that has happened over and over again in Scripture. And when we see it, it is almost always tied to something demonic. when we see this music that people are being attracted to, this siren nature to it, and then watching interviews and being addicted to these artists just like this who are having these same problems, while we are sitting there watching interviews with people acting like they're just normal, they're just like you, but then you find out the deep, dark truth and you've been seduced and sucked in by it, not realizing that this is worse than a broken cistern. It's just poisonous water and a well that you're sipping from, and you're sick, and there's no cure inside of that broken cistern. We have the living water that cleanses us. We can go to the Father. We can go to him through Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. And guess what happened to this demoniac? He was so filled with so many demons, they called themselves Legion, which means probably thousands, considering how many of, eventually they went into the swine and the swine ran off the side of the cliff from the demons pushing them out that way, because I believe they were getting people there angry at Jesus. And when we see that they had no power, that they were scared of the Lord Jesus Christ, they knew exactly who he was, and that ultimately they had no power against him. When we see that we can have this relationship with this risen king, the one who died a public death, the one who rose publicly for over 40 days, eating and drinking with people, giving them many convincing proofs of who he is, and that the ones that the demons, they tremble at him, that he has taken us, that we know Christ, from the dominion of darkness to the dominion of Christ, that we are now walking in the light. I feel so sorry for Billie Eilish. I feel so sorry for her parents. I feel so sorry for anyone who is being duped by this. The 97 million followers that she has and the people that are addicted to her music that do not realize that they are inviting demonic spirits into their home. They're meditating on the things that God hates, and this girl is honestly being exploited by Satan, will be used by Satan, and will hinder your walk with Christ at best, or completely you will desert it. And it breaks my heart because I've seen it with my own eyes, and I will call you, please repent. I prayed for Billy and her family and so forth that they would repent as well right before we did the show. But ultimately you, and if you think, oh, this is just evil, this is just bad, this is just terrible, the reality is if you don't come to Christ, you're all going to the same place. The reality is if you don't come into a personal, living, loving relationship to the risen King, and you look at that sacrifice that he gave on the cross and said, I don't have enough time to read my Bible. I don't have enough time to have a relationship with Christ. I'm too busy. Then he will look at you and do the same thing he did with the false prophets when he says, I never knew you. You won't hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I mean, I'm imploring you right now, put your trust in him. Look to him, love him with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Turn away from the world, turn to Jesus, and follow him all the days of your life. This has been Chad Davidson, and it's the 5:11 News.
The 5:11 News with Chad Davidson has been brought to you by Good Fight Ministries, bringing you news and commentary from a Christian perspective. This show can be heard every Friday wherever podcast shows are available, or visit 511news.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week on the 5:11 News.